Hi everybody and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a good few weeks. I haven't actually done that much photography actually until recently, until over the last few days. I had a week off work just using up some of my annual holiday leave before the end of the holiday year last week, but I kind of planned to do a lot of stuff, but I didn't get round to it because the old car was due its MOT, and I've had the little Hyundai Amica for quite a while now. It was Suzanne's old car, and it kind of got handed down to me when my beloved Renault Laguna, nice car that was, that failed, so Suzanne then got a newer Micra, and I was stuck with the Amica, but it's done all right, but the MOTs have been getting a little bit more expensive, and it started to drip oil, and there's a funny knocking sound coming from the back, so we kind of decided it was time to not put any more good money after bad on that car, and we went out looking for another motor, if you like, and I kind of, it's funny enough, I was looking at big cars, because I like big cars, Mondeos, BMWs, maybe a Vectra or something like that, but funnily enough, I ended up with another smaller car. We were going round, and we were at a garage in Southampton, and there was a red Yaris, which is a small Toyota thing, and normally I'd never buy a red car, because the problem is with red cars, the paint fades, isn't it, over time, but this was a really nice red, and I thought, I quite like that, but I kind of walked away, because I was looking for bigger cars, and in fact, we'd gone to that garage to look at a diesel Mondeo. But then again, Suzanne said, now go and have another look at it. And I went and looked at it. It was just under, it was about, I think it was 4.7, I think it was up for. And, yeah, it was really nice inside. It had only done like 27,000 miles, I think. So it was quite, a low mileage, 2010 model. Very, very nice. And they're well known for doing loads of miles to the gallon. You can get like 65 miles to the gallon out of them. And it's only £30 road tax. Now, for the UK, you'll probably be going, wow, that's cheap. Because I know Suzanne's Micra and my old Amica, they were, I think, £180 a year road tax. And this, because of the efficiency of the engine, I guess, and the fact that it doesn't dump out too many pollutants, you only have to pay £30 a year. And I went, wow, that's amazing. So I took it out for a test drive. You know, I mean, it's a nice drive. I mean, like any small cars that have got small engines, it's a bit buzzy. But for the type of driving I do, which is basically backwards and forwards to work along some normal roads and some motorways, it's kind of perfect. And I took it on a long run to Haywards Heath to pick up and drop off Valentino, and I managed to get 65 miles to the gallon out of it. And that's doing sort of 70 down the motorway and quite a bit of traffic as well. So well chuffed with that nice little car. Funny enough, you go out looking for one thing and you end up with something else. So I didn't get out that week to do much photography, but on the Sunday night, I kind of kicked myself in the butt to go out and take some night photos for our assignment for this month, which has been low light photography, wasn't it? And I've always had my eye on this petrol station, which is on the Gosport Fareham Road. And it's a Esso. And it's always, well, like most petrol stations, it's all nicely lit up with neon lights, and it has, like, the white Esso, is it white and blue? White and red, I can't remember, but the Esso sign, and it's part of the something Bean Cafe or something, so it's got a big yellow sign on it as well. And I thought that would make a nice subject, but I've never got around to going out and taking photos. So on Sunday night, I jumped in the new car, went up to Fareham, parked up, and then went out in the dark, sort of taking photos of it. And I have to admit, I did feel a bit odd to start off with, because I guess most people wouldn't see something like a petrol station as a interesting photographic subject. Now, lots of photographers would, because, we know that they're bright colours and there's stuff going on, but members of the public probably won't, and I was kind of a little bit worried that somebody might think I was up to no good. But I must have spent 20 minutes wandering up and down taking the photos of this petrol station. Admittedly, it was from across the road, I wasn't right up close to it. But lots of people went past and nobody said anything, so that was quite good. And I've uploaded one of the photos from there to our Flickr group to go in the dark, low-light, low-key photography thread. I don't know if that's the one I'll submit to Amateur Photographer of the Year. I don't know, we'll have to see. I think, like I said in the last podcast, what I'm going to do probably tonight, actually, because it's the, you've got to get them in for the 29th, I'll go through and look at all my dark photos from over the last several years and find the best one and submit that one to APOI, because I think that's what everybody else does. They don't go out and go, right, I want to take a photo in March and submit that one. And what else did I do? I had a go at shooting the moon as well, but that they didn't come out very well. It must have been a little bit... Well, the thing was, I didn't have my tripod with me, so I was trying to do handheld shots of the moon, which, although the shutter speed wasn't that slow, it's never a particularly good idea. But anyway, we were lucky enough over the last few days to have a big American nuclear aircraft carrier come into the Solent, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, CVN-71, also known as the Big Stick. So that was another opportunity to go down to Stokes Bay and take some night photos of that massive ship. And that was quite challenging again, because American carriers, well, American ships in general, they tend to not be that well lit up at night. They have like a necklace of lights that kind of create an inverted V over the ship. But they don't use that many spotlights on the superstructure or the sides of the ship to light it up. So I wasn't that particularly pleased with the photo I took. Again, it's up on my Flickr photo stream if you want to check it out. But what I did, because I had my tripod with me this time, I then took some better shots of the moon. So I managed to, you know, use live view on the 600D, zoom in, do manual focusing, and then adjust the exposure down and to bring out some details. And it was kind of okay, but I'm never that happy with my moonshots. I always feel like I need more reach than the 250 will give me. I'll have to dig out the 300 and give that a go, I guess, and maybe even have another go with the 2x teleconverter I've got as well on the 300 to see how that comes out. But I was very pleased that I actually managed to get out and take some photos. It kind of reinvigorated me again, to be honest. And so today, another day off, spring has finally sprung. Beautiful day, got up really early. Suzanne went off to work and I did a photo walk down Gosport High Street. Kind of my version, my attempt at street photography. Again, it's my hometown, so I always feel a little bit uncomfortable, I guess, wandering around taking photographs. Now, I'm not like a street photographer like, I don't know, Gary Winogrand or any of those guys, you know, who can go up to people and take pictures. I tend to pretend that I'm taking pictures of something else, and as people walk past, I click the shutter. But I always feel a bit self-conscious, especially as, you know, my 600D T3i is quite noisy. You know, you can hear it going as it takes the photos. And it wasn't actually that busy as well at 8 o'clock. I thought it would be much more busy than it was. There wasn't that many people walking down the high street. But I went down the high street, took some photos, went round the harbour area, took some photos there, and then went back to the car. Again, I was kind of just exercising that photography muscle, isn't it? Getting out there and actually taking some photos. Even if you think maybe there's nothing there that you're going to be a keeper, it's just it just feels great. I don't think there's much things better you can do, you know, with your clothes on, than wander around with a camera taking photos on a beautiful sunny day. It really is. I really do enjoy it an awful lot. But anyway, it was still only about 9:30, so I nipped to the waterfront, one of the waterfront areas of Gosport, where there's a new marina just up from the Millennium Bridge, to do some test shots, because I'm going to do a YouTube video pretty soon. Kind of a test between the 18-55, the 40mm and the 50mm primes, to kind of answer that question, is the 18-55, sorry, is the 50mm 1.8 or the 40mm 2.8, are they really sharper than your kit lens? So I took some test shots, you know, at 40mm and at 50mm with the 18-55, and then with those respective lenses at, like, wide open and at f8. Just to, you know, test that. Is it really that much difference in quality? You know, is it really worth carrying around your 40 and your 50? Beyond the fact that having a fixed focal length lens is always good, because it forces you to make decisions about the scene in front of you. Whereas with a zoom, you can just zoom in and out, and it's easy. Beyond that, is the glass better? It kind of feeds into the idea of crop factors as well. If you follow Tony Northrup on YouTube, you'll know that recently he did some work on crop factors and explaining that crop factors don't just apply to focal lengths, but they also apply to apertures and noise. And Is it depth of field as well? And depth of field as well, that's right. And it's really interesting. Now, lots of people, you might be listening to this, think, well, of course we know that. We know the fact that on a Canon, for example, if you want to compare lenses, if you've got a crop sensor body like my 600D T3i and you've got something like a 50mm lens, on a crop sensor body, it doesn't behave like a 50mm lens does on a full-frame sensor or an old 35mm camera. You have to time to by 1.6, so it's more like, you know, a 76mm lens, something like that. And when you go to camera manufacturers' websites like Canon, and they'll list, like, say, the 70-300 lens, they'll say, this is the 70-300, which behaves on a crop sensor body like a 112-480mm lens. So often you think, oh, that's brilliant, because I'm into sports photography or I'm into wildlife photography. Having that reach is just like getting something for nothing, isn't it? You're just getting a super long lens, because super long lenses are often the most expensive pieces of glass to buy. And it's like, oh, right, cool. I'm not really that bothered at the wide end. And in fact, our kit lens, you know, our 18-55s, the 18 is pretty wide, isn't it? So, you know, crop sensor, fantastic. But what they don't tell you, and you may well know this already, what they don't tell you is you've got to apply the crop factor to the sensor, to the aperture as well. So that 70-300, which is 112-480, is in fact the equivalent of 112-480mm lens, great, but the aperture's equivalent to an f6.4 to an f9, which is really slow, isn't it? So you're thinking, oh, well, that doesn't sound too appetising, to be honest. And it gives you an idea of how hard your camera is going to have to work with that lens in order to come up with decent images. In other words, you're going to have to bump up the ISO to keep the shutter speed up, which, you know, isn't great for wildlife or sports photography. You know, would you really go out and try and shoot sports with an f9 lens at 480mm? You know, it kind of, it doesn't make any difference to the fact that you can still go out and use these lenses and take great photos, but it kind of opens your eyes a little bit, because especially in his work, Tony was explaining the fact that, say with mirrorless cameras, often that they kind of sell their, I'm probably going to get this wrong now, but their 35-100 lenses, 35-100 2.8s, are the same, or the equivalent of a 70-200 2.8, like on a Canon or Nikon, but they're not. They might be the same in terms of focal length, but in terms of aperture, they won't give you the same results, because you've got to multiply it by 2 with most mirrorless cameras. So it's the same as a 70-200, but 2.8 times 1.6 or 1.5 is. So then, you know, you don't get the same depth of field out of them. And I thought that was really interesting, and it kind of, you kind of start to understand really why full frame, why people pay the extra for full frame, because you end up having pictures with less noise, because the sensor just doesn't have to work quite as hard, because there's more light falling on it at any particular aperture. And again, it doesn't affect the fact that our lenses can be great and can be sharp, but it kind of makes you a more informed consumer, I think, and it doesn't kind of pull the wool over your eyes about apertures. And what it made me really think about was, in order to kind of make up for the crop factor in terms of aperture, would be to really concentrate on primes. I'm starting to think that maybe my ideal setup would be something like the new Canon 10-18 super wide angle zoom for the wide end, then like the 40mm 2.8 pancake lens, which I've got for generally walking around. I know it's a little bit telephoto, but it could be cool. And then something like the 85mm f1.8 for more zoomed in stuff, or, you know, or for portraits, because that would be perfect for that. So yeah, kind of thinking about, obviously the problem is I don't own the 10-18 and I don't own the 85mm, so something's got to give there. Maybe, well, I think I've definitely got to sell the 70-300 35-56 IS, which I should be able to get a couple of £100 for, and that would pay for the 10-18, or maybe I would go for the 80-85 f1.8, I don't know. But anyway, just some ideas there. Now, I also wanted to mention the fact that if you're watching this on or around the 27th of March, 28th of March, that if you are thinking of putting your photos into Amateur Photographer of the Year for this month's assignment. You've got to do it before midnight on the 29th. It's that midnight UK time, so they need to be sent in pretty quick. But remember, you don't have to, and all part of doing the photo assignments on Flickr. It's all about fun, it's just all about getting out there and maybe taking some photos that you normally wouldn't have done, because it's always better for someone to give you an assignment about things to do that forces you to go out there and do it, because you never know what other things you might capture as well. But anyway, the assignment for next month, and again, we're mirroring the Amateur Photographer of the Year assignment, is, we said, abstract photography. So when you're out and about, look for shapes, look for shadows, look for anything that might be abstract. Maybe do some zoom blur, maybe do some camera blur. Anything, for me, anything abstract is anything where you're not quite sure what it is a photograph of, and that's an abstract. And you can go over and submit them to the robinonphoto.com Flickr group. I'll put a new thread up probably after the 29th, something like that. And then if you feel like it, you can submit them to Amateur Photographer of the Year. And remember, feel free to add old images to that thread as well. So if you've got some old lovely abstracts, stick them in, because that will help to inspire us to have some ideas of our own. Maybe we can adapt them with our abstract images. Thanks again for everybody for taking part. There is really some amazing images going on over there. Remember, it's free to join Flickr. You get lots of free photo backup space there as well. I think you get 2 GB, so it's a bit of a no-brainer. Go for it. And don't worry, if you're thinking, well, my photos aren't good enough, trust me, they are. Doesn't matter. Nobody criticizes anything. Just put them over there, and and you'll gain inspiration from other people as well. Also, there's a little bit of late news. As well. If you're in the UK, I don't know if this applies to America and the rest of the world as well, but the spring summer versions of a couple of really good fashion magazines are out. Rankin's Hunger magazine has just come out, and Love magazine has come out as well. And if you're into portrait photography or fashion editorial photography, that sort of thing, they're worth getting. They're about £6 each. They've gone up in price a little bit, but they're really thick. There's hundreds of images. And to be honest, I tend to buy them mostly for the adverts, because the adverts tend to be amazing photographs. But anyway, yeah, if you've got some cash, go down to your local W. H. Smith and pick those up. Well, that's enough from me. It just remains for me to thank everybody for taking part in the Flickr group, putting comments on robinonphoto.com, commenting on my YouTube videos. I love that sort of stuff. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robinonphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.